We've got a distinguished guest here by the name of Dalton Windsor. The last time before I met him, I didn't know who was who. And I pointed out somebody else that was Dalton Windsor. And I said he was so famous that Canada had named a province after him. But this is the real person. If you listen to WVCY worldwide, that's his voice. He's got the greatest voice that can probably be broadcast worldwide. And I'm so thankful for him and for the family that support him, too. So please give your attention to brother here and be praying that the messages will be blessed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Brother Chris is always too kind. He's always too kind, but we certainly appreciate him and seeing all of you. And the kids are growing. They're just a couple of them probably taller than me already. So that's what happens. It's been about a year or maybe a little more, a good year since I think we've been here. So I've gotten another year older. None of you have, but I have. So anyhow, I see a few more coming in, so we can let them join us on this rainy morning and thank the Lord for the moisture down where I'm from in southeast Kansas and further south. They've been feeding hay. They've been feeding hay to their cattle for over a month. It's been so dry. They've had such a drought down there. So thankful for the moisture and when it finally clears back up too and dries back up, that's always a blessing, isn't it? So, hello, young man. He used to be in a car carrier last time I saw him. Now look at him. So, I have a list in front of me here. I don't know if it's the latest one, but anyone needs to update us on your prayer requests. We'll go through these this morning and just kind of see where everyone, where we are, where that stands. First and foremost, mindful of your pastor this morning. He and Maureen understand getting away, obviously, thus our being here this morning. So we're thankful for them. And I still enjoy about once a month some fellowship with the pastor when he'll come in to do your radio program. So we trust the Lord will give them a time of refreshment and Travel Mercy's back home safely here very, very soon. So, Brother Mark, you can help me on these. Any new updates to these prayer requests or the prayer list that I'm looking at? Any updates? Yeah. So I see first and foremost, I see my name on here and my wife, and we did just return. Thank you for your prayers. So we did just return last Monday from Mayo Clinic, and they took a bunch more tests and a lot of blood work and those things, and we're not getting the numbers we want to see. And I shared with Pastor Brother Wooden a little bit about the situation, and the doctors are running out, or they're telling us kind of that they're running out of medicines to try to slow this kidney disease down. So, you know, we know that they have their report, and God always has His. And so, if we can't slow it down, well then, God will do something else. So, but thank you for your prayers, and she is a trooper for the Lord and doesn't miss a beat at home at being a wife or mom, and so we are thankful for her, and the side effects of the medicine she on is remains a daily struggle, causes a lot of extra things. So thank you for praying, and that does mean the world to us. So our oldest son is getting ready to start his junior year of college in southeast Kansas. So he's starting year three of his pre-med school and still staying with that. And we're proud of him. Our nearly 18-year-old son, Brady, is with us. And he'll be starting his senior year of high school here in another couple weeks. And then my daughter will be a freshman in high school here in a couple of weeks. So we're very blessed,
and just trust the Lord daily for all the things that He has us involved in. So, but thank you for your prayers for our family. We certainly appreciate it. So, how about you, Brother Mark?
Pray that the Lord would raise up godly men in our leadership of our country. I also pray that only for you, but the rest of us, that when we are faced with these trials, these storms, that our trust is always in the Lord. Help us to endure.
Yes, amen. 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 Your sister? Now, you have a sister, too.
Yes. My sister, Sue. Yes, please pray for her. She's struggling with addictions. And she had a stroke a while back.
Wow.
And since, as I understand, she doesn't drink or smoke. So, and I tried using that as another open door to witness to her. You got your ways, I got my ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, just pray for her hardened heart to be softened.
Amen. Who else this morning?
I have two little foster babies that are with me today, and they're just so in flight fright mode right now until they can figure out they're safe.
Wow.
They're downstairs in the nursery right now.
Okay.
They're adorable.
Okay. How old are they?
The little girl is almost two and the little boy is almost three. And they're just little bitty things.
What are their names?
Oh, M and R. There's no way I can say their names.
Okay.
We just go with M and R.
Okay. So how long have you had them?
We just got them this morning. They're not staying with us. I'm rescuing the foster parents because they received them at midnight. And they had plans and things to do, so they were being transferred.
Okay.
They were just in flight fright.
Yeah. Oh, we'll pray for them. We will. We'll pray for them.
Pray for the moms and dads, whatever the deal is, they get that figured out.
Wow. You know who suffers the most?
The babies.
In all of the things that are going on, the kids, the little ones.
They had nothing to do with any of it.
Nope. And they suffer the most every time. Wow. Well, thanks for being some shelter for them. Thank you for that. That's inspiring. Who else? Anyone else readily needing? How is Doug, the guy that has led music here before? How's he doing?
He usually comes.
Okay. I haven't seen him yet, so.
Okay.
I knew he had, been battling some things, and so.
He's on an upswing.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I see Holly on here, Holly Hickey. Thanks for keeping her on the prayer list. She's on many a prayer list, including a prayer list at VCY, so I know a lot of prayer goes up for her. And, her ministry. So powerful. Praise the Lord for it. Spiritual needs, church family to be motivated in witnessing and to lead people to Christ. We're going to talk about that today, as a matter of fact. Some unspoken prayer requests here. And I recognize a new grandpa out here in the crowd here this morning. I do. We saw your new grandson, Gilbert, right?
Gilbert James, I believe.
Yep, we saw him at our church last Sunday morning when Andy...
Did he take over preaching?
Well, no, he kept it pretty quiet for his first church service. So, but Andy and Teresa and new and that's two boys now and one girl, right? Yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
One girl, two boys, let's call it.
Okay. Well, okay, girl first.
Don't get me mixed up.
There you go. There you go. Well, congrats on that young man. So we've been waiting on his arrival, as I know you have too. So praise the Lord. Good morning. Come on in. Glad to have you. Glad to have you with us. We're just taking up some prayer requests this morning, kind of getting all together on a few things today. Just good to see everyone. And most faces are familiar to me. Not everyone, but we can change that as we progress here. So any other prayer requests this morning that we don't have on our list today? And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. This is your day, Lord. This is a day set apart from all other earthly care and need. And we know that the world doesn't stop turning. We know that need doesn't stop. We know that there are still everyday things that are being dealt with. But Lord, this is your day. The whole 24 hours is your day. And Lord, let that set a precedent for, if you're so willing, our day tomorrow. For a new day and a new week that you've created, Lord, that you've sent us into your forgiven children, the saints, the church, the born again, the twice born, that you've called by your name. You've forgiven us of much. You've shown us so much of your grace and so much of your mercy. And we're going to continue to need that in our moving forward. And we're so thankful that we can call on you morning, noon, and night, that we have this access to you, Father. Thankful for the church. Thankful for brothers and sisters, Lord, around the world. And that, Lord, you're still doing what you've always done. You haven't changed. You're not going to change. You never will change. I'm thankful to be able to come here today with my wife and my children to gather with the saints here in New Berlin. We lift up Brother Wooden and Sister Maureen as they're away, and we pray a time of refreshing and just a time of just fill their cup, Lord, as they get a break from the labors that you've called them to here. Pray for them and all of their family. Lord, for this church family. And so good to see the brothers and sisters here and hear the children and see how they're growing and how you're working in their lives, Lord. And we have the prayer list here, and you know each one of these needs much better than I do. Much better than any of us do. You know what our needs are before we even speak them. Or if we never do speak them, you already know. But thank you for being our Father and watching over us and helping us through every trial of every day. Through our spiritual need and our physical need, Lord. And they are many. We see many of those here on the list this morning. Lord, I pray you'd quiet our hearts today. Pray, Lord, that despite all of the heaviness and the care of the day and the times in which we're living, Lord, that we will find this time to set at your feet and to receive your word. May it be food to our spirit, meat to our soul, feeding us, Lord, and rebooting us even to go about your business into another new week, Lord. Lord, you know of all the prayer requests, as we just mentioned, and we just trust them to you, ask your will to be done, and bless this time as we talk a little bit about who we are as the church today, and then as we would prepare for the morning meeting. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Amen. Well, we don't get too much time together before we meet for the main service and more of the saints come in. So I brought along some things to challenge us a little bit this morning for our Sunday school time together. Some things to... I like the word... Well, I don't really like the word because I use the word a lot. Anyone have a computer in here? Do you have a computer anywhere? If you have one of these things, you have a computer, one of these smart things. Wow. You ever have to reboot your smartphone or your desktop or your laptop or whatever? We reboot these things a lot. And why do we have to reboot them? It's because they kind of have been doing so many things. They've been processing so much information that they just have to be shut down and turned back on and unplugged or whatever you do to get them to kind of restored back to their normal settings. And boy, as the church in America today, we need a reboot. We come to Christ in our prayer time, in our personal lives, and we say, Lord, I need a reboot. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Lord, I'm going through something in this area of my life. Lord, I've got this trial over here. Lord, I've got this temptation over here. Lord, I've got this sin over here. So many things going on, and Lord, will you reboot me? Amen? And you know what He does? A faithful promise in God's Word that if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, to reboot us from all that unrighteousness. I don't know that there's a verse I love preaching more and teaching and being reminded of myself of that great truth. Because in this world, and all that's going on, we're not home yet. And we need that reboot. That daily reboot. That moment-by-moment reboot. Some folks think they can just get a reboot once a week at Sunday. If that's all they need, good for them. Praise the Lord for that. But I need mine a little more often, like daily. Reboot. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. And so I brought along something that I've held on to for several years. I keep this in my notes, and my notes stacks are getting larger and larger, and I keep finding them and say, okay, I got to put this one here. This is one of those that I don't want to ever lose, and it's an article from Pastor Jack Hiles. He pastored way back there in the 1900s. I was born in the 1900s, way back there in the 1900s. We can say that now. It makes us feel and sound really old when we say it that way, right? But Pastor Hiles, as a pastor, and he was an author, speaker, and all these different things, but he liked to define to the people often, the way I understand it, I did not know him, but he liked to define to people the purpose of the gathering of the saints. Not the purpose for the church, because we know the church is always going to be, because that's Jesus' business. That's His project. That's what He's building, and it's always going to be there, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? So, he would like to remind, and often would remind the saints, and that's why I hold on to this, because I need this reminder, and I prayed about this, that maybe this would be where the Lord would have us at in New Berlin to just look at what it is that we're doing and the purpose for being where we are today. If you came here this morning to worship, that's a good thing. But coming here is not our only form of worship to God. We often say, sing songs and say, well, this is worship to God. Amen. We sing a song to God. We believe there's a biblical backing for singing and making that joyful noise unto the Lord as a form of worship. But saints, that form of worship is also your Monday. And what you're doing on your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday, He's a God to be worshipped every day. Amen. The first part of this says, the church was not started to be a place of worship. You can worship God better alone than you can with others. Now that's an interesting thought. Because the fact is, if we're not worshiping God on our own, we're really not going to be doing it when we're with others either. You can worship God better alone than you can with others. You can also pray better alone than you can with others. You may enjoy prayer time with the saints, and we do, and that's another biblical model of the way to pray, but to pray to God on our own is even more important, that we would know Him personally. For to not know Him personally and then think that we can go, well, this article says when two people pray together, their prayers will too often be designed to impress each other. That has never happened here, I'm sure. But saints, it does happen. Oh, well, this brother over here can pray so much better than me, and I'm just not going to pray at all because, you know. Or this sister over here, she can just pray and she can pray and she can pray and I can't. And that's not what corporate prayer, corporate worship is all about. Or maybe Brother Doug, he can sing so much better than Brother Mark. And no. But every Christian should worship God in the beauty of who He is, in the beauty of His holiness. He's a holy God. Any holiness that I will ever have and must have doesn't come from me. We get it from Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord, who imparts that holiness. Scripture says, for without holiness, no man can see the Lord. One of the heaviest verses in the Scripture. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Not as loving Father, Lord, Savior, friend. We would see Him as judge without that holiness. We should adore Him, worship Him, magnify Him, and honor Him in everything we do. For the Christian, and God willing, we're going to talk about this during morning service. For the Christian, everything is spiritual. We look at everything through a spiritual, biblical lens. Aren't you thankful that we have that foundation? So the church was not started as a place of worship. Yes, we can worship here, and there is a form of that. It is another expression of worship to God, but that is not its sole purpose. The idea, listen to this, Brother Heil said this, the idea that the church is a place to worship God, you know where that came from? Rome. Any former Catholics here? Several. The idea that the church is a place to worship God, that it's like a place to worship God, came from Rome, has its roots in the teaching from Rome, not from the New Testament. What a thought. Do we want our worship and our church to be biblical, or do we just want it to be geographical? Like, oh, I've got to go to a certain place to worship God. That's not biblical. We as New Testament believers, we know that the temple of God is what? In you. You're the temple. Oh, and with that comes some accountability of how we take care of and manage that temple. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps us with that. There is only one place in the New Testament where the word worship is connected to a public service. Like a public gathering. Only one place in the New Testament where the word worship is connected to a public service. And that dealt with worship of the devil. There is no example in the entire New Testament of a Christian worship service per se. I'm not knocking gathering of the saints, and we're going to talk about that too. In Amos chapter 5, God told the people, I despise your feast days. He would have nothing to do with their solemn assemblies. I will not accept them. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, the church. Wow. The church is not just a place of worship. That was the first point. There's several points. We'll see how far we get. You know what else the church is not just for? Jesus did not start the church as a place of evangelism. Evangelism is one of those fancy words we have in Christianity. Someone give me, when you hear the word evangelism, what comes to mind? Door to door witnessing. I like it. What else? Missions. That's, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But we're not going to specifically be really practicing that right here this morning. This is a gathering of the what? The saints. This is a gathering of the saints. I've heard it said. This is a pep rally. In a sense. We come together. We exhort one another. We give one another encouragement. We do it all in the presence of an Almighty God. We want to come to Him with reverence. We want to come with Him with joy and giving Him thanksgiving and all of that. Pep rally is not the best word. Don't quote me on that. But you get the point. We come together as brothers and sisters to give exhortation, to be reminded of the promises of God, and then to go about evangelism, then to go back out. How many times have you thought of the preacher? Well, the preacher, you've heard the saying, the preacher is, he's preaching to the choir today. And that's, and nothing wrong with that. I'll never tire of hearing John 3:16. Or whatever is coming from the Scriptures. I'm not saying that. But the point is that our coming together here this morning, I hope that you don't come to a gathering such as this and that you're just, it's just non-expectant, ho-hum about it. That's not God's plan. That's what this article that I brought along today is about. And by the way, if you would like a copy of this, I'll get a copy to Brother Wooden and you can look at it in its entirety. It's been around a long, long time. I've held on to it. And there's just a lot of great things to challenge us in our thinking. And that's the goal of it, is to just challenge us. Because the last thing I think that in the dark times that we are in today in our culture and in our country, the last thing that you and I should be is ho-hum about Jesus Christ. The last thing we should be is ho-hum about our church. The last thing we should be ho-hum about is our prayer life and our evangelizing and all of the things that we are doing. Who has Christ given the Great Commission to? The world? He gave it to us. He gave it to us to go into all of the world and preach that gospel. And not just preach, but to make disciples. The preaching, it's easy to do here on Sunday, Then there's disciple making that can be done the rest of the week. And that's where the real work comes in. And the real praying comes in. And newsflash, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not an expert at it. And I've missed many an opportunity to be that witness and that light that I wanted to be in life. But the beauty of following Jesus is, it's not about my success or how good or bad I did. It's just the fact that I was willing to be a servant, willing to share as God would have me to do. Amen. And I trust Him with all of the results. We read in the New Testament, Paul would plant, Apollos would water, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. God, look at the teamwork and look how, you know, Paul preached, Paul planted, Apollos watered, he helped to make disciples, but God gave that increase. So, this gathering that we come together to have for the few minutes that we do is wonderful. If I don't feel good or we're traveling and we can't make it to our home church for a meeting or something and a new week starts, I just personally feel like something is wrong. You know, there's a blessing in coming together and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as has become the habit of some, as it says in the scripture, right? But to have that wonderful start to, this is the first day of the week. We've always taught our kids, Sunday's the first day of the week. This is, and I said, how great is God and all that He's done, and He also gives us the first day of the week off. Every week. But not just off from any responsibility, but off that we can focus on Him. Amen? So, our gathering for the hour that we do today, the 45 minutes that we do today, the couple of hours that we gather today, whatever it is, we can't do all of our worship in that. We can't do all of our evangelism in that. Can we? No. And the Lord never intended that to be the case. Thus, the reason I've held on to this wonderful teaching as a reminder. Now, we talk about worship. We talk about evangelism. And here's one thing we want to be said about our church. That it is a soul-winning church. Now, that is a biblical model. That we would be soul winners. What does the scripture say? He that winneth souls is
wise.
Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. We have many avenues and opportunities to witness and to evangelize and all of that. We want to be a soul winning church. In the first century, local churches were soul winning churches. They were scattered abroad everywhere with many people preaching or soul winning. Okay? Peter did not preach the evangelistic sermon on Pentecost as many think. The Bible says that every nation under heaven was represented at Pentecost, and every man there heard the gospel. Many people were doing the soul winning. It was not just Simon Peter. Brother Heil says, I am not against having an evangelistic service, but that was not why Jesus started the church, nor was it the way the New Testament church operated. In the first century, our churches were soul-winning churches in the early church. That's what they were doing. And what if it was good enough for the early church, it must certainly be good enough for the church today. The people came to the gathering, the church, for the real purpose of the church. Then they went out from the church and they won folks to Christ in the public places and the neighborhoods, and they would invite them and they would bring them back in to that church gathering. Something happened shortly after the early church. The churches became evangelistic rather than soul winning. What would the difference be? A soul-winning church is where the people go out and win them, bring them back in to make a public profession. An evangelistic church is where you invite sinners to come and the preacher tries to get them saved through his preaching. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that except that the larger part of the church body will go unfed, will not hear the word. There's that balance, see? There's that balance. We need the feeding of the Word of God, don't we? How many times do you feed your body every day? At least once, maybe a couple times a day, maybe a few meals a day. We feed, and if we feed the flesh, we got to feed the spirit man or the spirit woman. And God is always about that, especially in the coming together. And we have that biblical model that the flock would be fed by the Word of God. From Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 at 12, you know this scripture. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that word perfecting, the perfecting of the saints, means maturing. It doesn't mean Dalton Windsor's perfect, but it means he's growing. I'm still growing, and you need anything that doesn't get fed will die, right? So we have to be fed the Word of God. And Tracy and I were talking about this just the other, maybe yesterday morning, when we were talking about when we first started attending with Brother Fryer. And not anything necessarily to do with Brother Fryer, but my heart was ready. I was hungry for the Word of God. And he led us many years ago. We can pinpoint the time where the church we had been in had kind of split up, and the pastor had left, and you know all those things, and we were just like sheep without that shepherd, right? And I remember praying, Lord, I don't care what the church building looks like. I don't care if they meet out under a tree in a pasture somewhere. If your word is there, I need it. I need that teaching. I need that, you know. And there was a time in my life that I would have thought that just sitting in a church pew and just listening to some guy go on and on like you are right now, that I would have thought that would have been one of the most boring things to have to do. But the Lord led us to sit under the teaching of the Word of God, nothing more than the teaching of the Word of God, at probably one of the lowliest pieces of property in our hometown as far as church buildings go. They didn't have the big building fund, and they didn't have the fancy parking lots, and, you know, they just, all of that. But I didn't want that. But they had what I needed, the teaching of the Word of God. And now when I do get to revisit where we're from, I mean, it's one of the, they're still, you know what they're still doing? Preaching the Word, teaching the Word, hitting another generation, young people, city kids, street kids. It's a small town, 20,000 people now. I don't know. Maybe less. It's a small town, but people that are still going in and receiving the Word of God. One pastor, one Bible, little pulpit, feeding the Word of God. Changed my life. Many of you have the same testimony. Again, I wasn't looking for anything flashy. The world had offered all of that to me that I would have wanted, but it wasn't what I needed. It wasn't what you needed. Therefore, we're still feeding on the Word of God. How important is that? So the word perfecting means maturing. God gave apostles, He gives leaders in the church for the maturing of the saints. That's that making of the disciples. There's the preaching the gospel. There's the making of the disciples. God gave evangelists for the maturing of the saints. God gave pastors and teachers for the maturing of the saints. Are you maturing? Are we growing? Do we want to? Or are we just saying, well, I've got Sunday morning taken care of. What's on TV? You get my drift? I'm not knocking TV. But we need to be maturing. And you say, well, I'm up in my years and there's just not much time left for me. Who says that? Moses was 80 when God used him to say, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. He was 80. What's your excuse? I guess the alternative would be just to say, okay, God doesn't need me anything. God doesn't need any of us, right? He doesn't need anything from any of us, but He chooses to use us and give us the purpose. To give us purpose. So it's so much more than the gathering that we will have today. And again, I'm not knocking the gathering. I love the gathering of the saints. That has been what has helped mature me and grow me in my walk with Jesus. Those men that stood before me, many of them, I love them. They're my brothers. I love you guys. I love my brothers and my sisters at New Berlin. But these men who sowed into me, many of them that I talk to weekly to this day, who were more concerned about my spirit man, my soul, than they were the car that I drove or the job that I had or anything else. They were concerned about me. Concerned enough to even tell me what I needed to hear. Not so much what I didn't want to hear, but they were to tell me what I needed to hear. His name was Joe Bartlett, stood before me one day and said, when are you going to be preaching the word? And I didn't have an answer for him. But I had apparently been holding back on something that I didn't recognize or understand, that the Lord wanted to use me in a different capacity. And it was through a brother in his great love for God and his great love for me said, when are you going to do what you know you should be doing? He's with the Lord now. I'm going to see that brother again someday. You know where that happened? At my house. He came to my house. Got in the middle of my world. Joe just kept coming around. I'd be somewhere. I work in radio, obviously. And back then I'd be working on location somewhere. You know who'd show up? Joe Bartlett. There was Joe. Looking for me. How's it going? What's going on? Hey, see you Sunday. And fishing for men. Don't stop fishing, church. Don't stop fishing. We're here for a reason. It's so much more than this beautiful gathering that we'll have for the few minutes before us here this morning. So much more. For all these that we mentioned, the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, all of this, so much more than what we could fit into 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Every Christian is commanded to be a soul winner. Not to be perfect, but to be a soul winner. Listen, if you are thankful and you truly understand what God's grace has saved you from, we want that for everyone else. Right? Right? We do. We want this for everyone else. We're not going to keep it all to ourselves. And please understand, no one is no one's getting beat up here this morning about, well, I missed this opportunity. No, I've missed many opportunities, but those missed opportunities have helped me be prepared to be right on time for the next one. So, yes, we've failed. Yes, we've fallen short. But God's got us in a position to be ready for the next one. One thing that I have not all, I've grown into, this is just an example, that I continue to grow into is tract ministry. Tracts, for me, being at BCY Radio, I can give out the invitation to listen cards, and some of them have some scripture on them, and I'm finding that I'm running out of them more often than I used to. I used to always just, I'd have plenty of them in my car, but now I'm running out of them more. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you're helping me get these things out more often. I like tract ministry. I think God, we know there's been many a people come to Christ through picking up a Bible tract and reading something. And so I'll go to my car and I'm out. And I'm like, oh, I got to get some more. So I missed an opportunity. But guess what that reminded me to do? To get reloaded and to be able to go back out. Leave them at gas pumps. Leave them with your waitress. There's so many opportunities we have. We can't say, and we don't have to have a Bible degree to witness to somebody. And the tract ministries are wonderful for that. Just getting out the seed, spreading the seed of God's Word, and just letting, and being that planter of a seed and trusting someone else, some Joe Bartlett would come along and water that seed, and then God gets all the glory for all of the increase. I truly wish, I'm looking at the time, I truly wish we had just a whole bunch more time to go through this because it's so good. But I'll get a copy of this to your pastor if you want to read it. And I read a lot of articles, and this one's one I've held on to for years. And I would imagine there's some that would maybe take odds with some of this, but that's between them and God. I'm not going to argue about it, but I just... I truly believe that we do need that reboot that we talk about. I truly believe that we need that. We need that personal reboot. We need the reboot in our heart. Because otherwise, Brother Adrian Rogers preached that message that I'll never forget, that we were not saved to sit. We were saved to serve. If we just sit on our blessed assurance, on all the promises of God, if we just sit and do nothing with it, we're sure to sour. I know sour Christianity. I've tasted sour Christianity. I've lived sour Christianity. I don't like it. This proverb says, iron sharpens iron. We come together and we sharpen one another for a little while. We give that exhortation. And lastly, this is something the church needs to start talking about. Well, brother so-and-so doesn't get along with brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so won't sit by this sister because they had an out several years ago. What is that? Where does that need to be taken? To the cross. We gotta reboot these things. We gotta reboot these things in the church. It ought not be said of God's people, when Jesus Himself has commanded us to what? Love one another. If you have aught against a brother or a sister, if you're holding something against anybody in your church family, first and foremost, this applies out in the world too, we should not be holding grudges on anybody, but especially in the household of faith. Maybe even if it's even our pastor and our leadership, we need to take those things to God. We need to come together and say, let's get beyond this. We may have to agree to disagree, but brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. Let's pray through this. Let's move on. Jesus expects us to. He's no better than him, and she's no better than her. And we need to just get honest and open and let God set us free from those things. Is God going to bless this the disunity? Can He? Can He bless a grudge? Of course not. And maybe you don't. Maybe you're not experiencing that, but you know somebody in your church that is. Then you have a new ministry. You can pray for that person. You can talk to that person and say, you know, I know you don't get along with this brother, but hey, let's get the victory in this. This life, God is too great, and this life here is too short, and we want to move forward for God. We don't want to stay and sit idle and sour. Amen. So we're gonna close here. There's a lot more of this, but I believe the Lord has used it again in my life as a reminder that it's not just about our little gathering that we have here today, and thank God for it. Praise God for it. And all the gatherings that are happening all around the world on the Lord's Day. But then let's also think about the things that He'll have us doing throughout the week, the worship that we can be practicing throughout the day tomorrow. The worship, the evangelism, all these things that we've talked about, the soul winning, and who knows who God might allow to come in here and join us for a few minutes next week. Father, hallelujah. We just praise your name. Your word is life, and it's food, and it's strength to us. It's our foundation. It is our very breath. Our life, Lord, you've breathed into us the breath of life, and not just physically, Lord, but spiritually. Oh, Lord, we want to mature. We want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who you are. And Lord, we see the evil in our day, but the days here are evil. We want to redeem the time in this evil time. We want to redeem that time, Lord. We want it to count. We want it to matter. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we fail. Thank you for doing that. And even the times that we're still going to fall short in the future, Lord, but it's not about our performance. Help us be reminded that it's not about how much we know or don't know or have done or need to do. Lord, it's all been done. But help us, Lord, to just be faithful stewards of what you've granted, Lord, and what little wisdom that you've imparted to us, Lord, that we've been able to receive, Lord. May we maybe be able to share that with someone else. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering today and bringing the rest in a few minutes that we could gather for the morning service. We love you and praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll meet up again here in just a little while.